Welcome everyone this morning to services here at Northeast. Whether you are present in person today, and we are happy to see y'all, we welcome those of you who have joined us online, many of our members and others as well. It's always good to get together, worship God. The Lord's Day is a wonderful day because it's a day of focus and a day of worship, able to remember Jesus as we were led so ably just a couple of minutes ago, thinking about the Lord's Supper. Grateful for our family, our church family at this place, and people who are scattered in various areas of the country who used to be members here. And I know some of you have heard already that Julian and Melissa Davis are going to be moving to Texas. They are in the process of moving in that direction. In fact, they were going to be here today, but as you also know, Melissa's dad is gravely ill, and she is with her parents at this time, and Julian was unable to be with us. We always give families who are an important part of our church a going-away book with pictures of Cincinnati or pictures of the church here. And I want to read what we say to Melissa and Julian today. A few words written on the page of a photo book cannot begin to fully capture the gratitude we have for you, nor the profound positive impact you and your family have had upon our Northeast church family. While we will miss you most deeply, we are happy knowing that you are following God's call to this new chapter in the story of your life. May God bless you and yours till we meet again. On behalf of your Northeast family, love in Jesus. And so we send Julian and Melissa off and pray for them, pray for their family, pray for her father, Doug, and bid them adieu. Contact them this week. Melissa's going to be here on and off for a while. They're going to sell the house. So just to kind of let you know what's going on with them. And we always are joyful to welcome new people to Northeast, but it always saddens us to say so long until we meet again. And yes, we have new screens today as well. We've needed these for a long time. The old ones we had, they were over here. They really weren't the right size. They were good in 1992 whenever we first got them around that time, but they're about 30 or 40 years old. The clarity's messing up. And so we were able to do this because of the generosity of some individuals at Northeast who have given gifts over and above the budget to pay for things like this that help us not only in our experience here, but also help us as well with our outreach to people online. Thank the folks and the team who work on this stuff all the time. I can't say enough about Nick. He is down in Gatlinburg with the kids at Winterfest. Nick working together with the team. A lot of those guys are in the back. Other people on the team who work to make this work for us. And we should, you know, you see somebody on the sound team or somebody who does work during the week, thank them. Express your gratitude to them because they mean a whole lot to this congregation. Yes, when I was putting together this series, I did not realize we'd have these big old giant screens now. And I'm going to be honest with you. I came in, I thought, that's just almost too much. Almost too much. It gets the point across. You can't miss the point, but the fact is, we sometimes are people with big fat mouths. And I don't know how you are on the scale of how you use your tongue or what you say, but most of us probably struggle with it a little bit. I got this text from one of the members this week who said to me, I saw your new sermon topic, and I love it. I love it. I am available to talk if you need someone with experience with foot and mouth disease. So this brother offered me maybe to, I guess, do a personal interview with him about his big fat mouth, but maybe we'll hold off on that for now. But the fact is, we have trouble with our mouths. The average human being speaks about 7,000 to 20,000 words in a day. And the research I did, I was trying to figure out whether that was just like words that you spoke or words that you spoke and communicate via text or an email or some other form as well. There are lots of ways that we communicate. And the old research said that women typically would use like 10,000 more words a day than the average man. But recent studies have shown that that is not the case, that the words shared by men and women are probably, the amount or the number are probably about the same. Maybe women a few more words, but not that many more words. And so our mouths can get us into trouble. And it can get us into trouble because we say things that we shouldn't say, or we don't say things that we should say. It's been in the forefront of what's going on in the news. When was the last time you saw a news story about somebody on a jet airliner getting into a fight or an argument with somebody on the jet plane? Anybody seen any of those? It's almost become epidemic in some places. People are angry. They're speaking words out of anger. The experts tell us when it comes to our language that most of us lie many, many times a day. I was reading an article about what we say in terms of speaking the truth. And in this article on mental flaws, it says you can say two things for sure about human beings. Our opposite thumbs make us great at using tools, and we are all big fat liars. By age 4, 90% of children have grasped the concept of lying, and it just gets worse from there. Just how bad is it? According to a 2002 study conducted by the University of Massachusetts, 60% of adults can't have a 10-minute conversation without lying at least once. 10-minute conversation, 60% lying at least once. But even that number makes it sound better than it really is. Most of those people in the study who did lie actually told an average of 3 lies during their brief chat. And I know some of you are probably sitting out there right now insisting you would be part of the 40% that wouldn't lie in a 10-minute conversation. But that's what the liars in the study thought too. When they watched their own taped conversations, they were shocked at how many fibs they had told. And when there was a national survey about honesty, and once again, I guess you have to take it with a little bit of grain of salt on a wide range survey about honesty, because some people may not answer the survey honestly, but they did it in such a way that they got the most honest answers they could from people. 86% of us lied to our parents regularly, followed by 75% to friends, 73% to siblings, 69% spouses, and on and on and on. And while many of those things that are said we think are things that are about unimportant things, maybe little white lies, which are still lies, a lot of times we lie about things that have great, important impact. 40% of people, they say, lie on their income tax, and there are all kinds of ways that we can lie. And so sometimes this may end up being us. We end up being like this dog. And I don't know where the expression came, open mouth, insert foot, came from, or you having to eat your words or bite your tongue. There's so many kinds of expressions out there about what happens when we say something and we wish we hadn't said it. Now, some of us have more problem with this than others just because of the way we're wired. Some of us are more talkative. I am more talkative than Jeannie is, generally speaking. And if we were to do a survey of this church and ask you, between Jeannie and myself, which of us has put our foot in our mouth more times than the other? Okay, how many of you would vote Jeannie? Okay, Jeannie. What? Okay, me. I know the answer to this. It's me. I talk more. I put my foot in my mouth a lot more. Sometimes I don't think before I speak. When I said to Jeannie this weekend, as I was thinking of maybe some illustrations, I said, you know, can you think of a time that I put my foot in my mouth? And she just burst out laughing. like there's so many times I can't even remember. And I remember meeting a couple at church. This is several years ago. Carol and I forget his name, but his last name was, their last name was Gage. Carol Gage and whatever her husband's name was. And they visited, and I probably talked to them like 5 minutes. And then that same week, I'm in the parking lot at Big Lots. I don't go to Big Lots a lot, but I happen to be at Big Lots that day. And I see these people getting out of their car. And I think, you know, I think I know those folks. You know, I'm gonna go introduce myself to them. So I walked up to them and I said, you know, I think I know you. I've met you somewhere. And they said, well, yeah, we had a 10-minute conversation on Sunday at church. I must have made a really big impression on these people, or they certainly didn't, you know, make an impression on me, whatever it was. I put my foot in my mouth a lot, and the fact is, here's the truth. We need to talk. We need to communicate. We're created to communicate. It was that way from the beginning. You think about how this world, this universe started, and when we have the creation account in the Bible, it talks about God speaking. God said, let there be light. God said, let there be, you know, the water and the land and everything that he created. And out of those words, something good was created. And we find quite frequently there in the early chapters in the book of Genesis, the first couple of chapters, God doing something, God creating something, God speaking something into existence, and the statement, it was good. But we also know from the very beginning there were problems. There was problem with lying and deceit. And we know words of deception are introduced by Satan in the garden. And we know that the original first couple fell and sinned. And then that affected their lives. And that affected how they communicated. And so after the fall and after the sin, they share words of shame. They're hiding from God. They share words of blame. Adam is speaking about the woman who gave me the fruit and I ate from that. So in a way, he's blaming her. From the very beginning, our language has been corrupted. It's not always good. It's not always beneficial. It's not always helpful. And James tells us right in James chapter 3, the reality is the tongue is hard to tame. It's difficult. I had somebody else this morning in a conversation. They were saying, hey, is this lesson for me? I think a lot of us have issues with this. In fact, James chapter 3, he said we can put bits into the mouths of horses. We can make them do things. There are ships. They have a rudder, a small rudder, and yet that one rudder on a ship can control the whole direction of the ship. And then he talks about the tongue. He says it's a small member. It's a very small member. And likewise, it's a small part of the body, but it makes great boast. Consider what a great forest fire is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person. It sets a whole course of life on fire, and itself is set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. That is a pretty strong, stark description. And it's a reminder to us about how serious this whole issue is of how we communicate, of what we say, and the impact it has on others. And let's not think for a second that we, if we're Christians, and even if we're Christians walking in the light as he is in the light, that we aren't affected by it. That it can't creep in and affect us and hurt relationships and cause us to hurt others. And sometimes it can be a downright snowball effect, even within churches, if they get caught up in the gossip game. And I, you know, years ago, this is so long ago, nobody will know or have any idea who this is, but there was a person in prominence who had a serious problem with being negative and aggressive and being a gossip. And and this person was in a pretty important, served a pretty important role and was a person in this congregation. And it was hard. It was difficult. And I've talked with you, quite frankly, early on, some of the struggles I had. And quite frankly, that was one of the factors early on in my ministry that I was thinking about giving up ministry altogether, because I was so disillusioned and so hurt by what was going on there. Thank God, people encouraged me. We stuck it out. But it can be so damaging. Now, next week, I'm going to focus on the areas of criticism. I'm going to focus on the area of complaint. I'll talk some more about, you know, gossip and slander. So we'll look specifically at some of these things. But that's the truth. The tongue is hard to control. And here's another thing we need to keep in mind as we venture into this series. Once the cat is out of the bag, right, it cannot be unbagged. It's sobering, it's challenging, especially those of us who like to talk, and the Bible talks about, you know, a person of many words. If you say a lot of words, if you speak a lot of things, there's a good chance you're going to mess up with your tongue. The wise man in Proverbs says, a man of knowledge uses words with restraint. This is chapter 17, verse 27. A man of understanding is even-tempered. Even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent, and discerning if he holds his tongue. And then a few chapters later in chapter 29, verse 20, it says, do you see a man who speaks in haste? There is more hope for a fool than for him. The damage that's done. The damage that is done that cannot be undone. What are the messages? What are the signals that we are sending daily with the 20,000 words that we use to others? What messages are we sending and giving to our children and how we talk to them and how we encourage them and how we value them and who they are and what they can be? And likewise, it goes the other way as well. We talk about saying things and letting the cat out of the bag, but what about saying, not saying things when we should say things? You know, our speech, there are patterns, and sometimes patterns will set in such a way that maybe you don't have to just say it one time. You say it a lot of times, and it just becomes understood by somebody who is in your presence. I remember a funeral from many years ago, and there was a woman at the funeral who was emotionally upset and made the comment to me that her dad never told her he loved her. Now, I believe that you can love somebody and not necessarily say that you love somebody. But I think it's important that we say the things that are important and the things that we mean, and that we don't withhold the things that we ought to be saying. And I don't doubt that her dad loved her. But that was a message that she was not hearing. And likewise, you hear over and over again from your parents that you're never going to make it, or why do you always do this, or why do you mess up, why can't you do that? If that's the only thing they're hearing, that's going to be imprinted on their brains, and that's going to make a difference now and in the future. But the fact is, it's complicated. This whole issue of communication is so much more complicated than it used to be. You think about just when you're doing text messages. And as you do a text message, how many of you have sent a text message and you hit send and then you go, oh, man, once it's done. And then sometimes you have those typos, you have the autocorrect. And there have been times when I have sent something. There have been times when I have sent something in a text message that I regretted sending because I didn't check autocorrect and I had to tell somebody I did it. It's complicated for a number of reasons. One area of complication is this whole area of body language. You know, we speak with more than words. We speak by the way we position ourselves. Let me ask you, David, what is she saying? She's not happy, doubtful, skeptical. It's certainly not friendly and trusting, is it? She's speaking with her body. What about this? Huh? What does that? Anybody ever been in a meeting like that? All right. Hey, some of you are doing that right now. Yeah. But even when we're not saying a word, we send messages. What about a smile or a frown? Same guy. What does the message on the left tell you? Well, actually, I think the one on the left's kind of creepy as well as the one on the right. So he's smiling. But just because you're smiling doesn't mean, you know, what's in your heart is actually what's going on. How many of you remember the song from the Undisputed Truth from back in the 70s? Smiling Faces. Smiling Faces. Anybody remember that? Raise your hand if you remember Smiling Faces. Smiling Faces, they show no traces of the evil that lurks within. A smile is just a frown turned upside down. Amen. Let me tell you. You know, you can't always trust people because they're smiling. So even though we have this whole issue of body language and sending signals, sometimes it can be a little bit confusing. What about social media? I mean, social media certainly complicates this whole idea of communication, does it not? You think of all the platforms that are out there. You think of all the things that are said and done. You think of all the things that are passed on so easily. Sometimes it might be truth. Sometimes it may not be truth. And then you have people on social media operating many times quite anonymously. So if you are anonymous or can remain pretty anonymous, may have a screen name or something like that, but you pretty much can say whatever you want to, however you say it. There's a certain amount of danger that comes with all of these things related to our communication. Talked about lying a couple of minutes ago. A survey has been done by a university that says that people who have a profile online for a dating service, that 90% of those people lie on their profile. 90%. Now, I'm not saying you can't find somebody online. We have people here who are married at Northeast, happily married, great relationship that met online. But once again, that's one of the risks that you have. And then you have the complication of all those emojis. What do they all mean? That there are times when I've had to ask somebody younger than me, what does this emoji mean? And then they'll tell me what it means. And I remember one time I was sending an emoji and I did not know what it meant. And then somebody told me what it meant. And I thought, I'm not going to send that emoji one more time because it was something that was not good. And then maybe this is an emoji we need. And I looked this one up. And this is an emoji for somebody who's talking too much. So maybe load that one on your phone. And if somebody says something online or sends you something that's inappropriate, then you just send them this little thing back to them. And you'll be telling them, you talk too much. So what do we do with all this? Well, it's clear that speech is serious business. I want to read to you from Matthew chapter 12. And this is our reading for this morning. And listen to what Jesus says. He says, make a tree good, and its fruit will be good. Or a tree bad, and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings the good out of the good stored up in him. And the evil man brings the evil things stored up in him. But I tell you that men will give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. Let me read that again. But I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. That is serious business, isn't it? Every idle word. Everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. Some translations there say every idle word, every careless word, every wasted word. And so we have to ask ourselves this question, what am I doing with my words? Am I speaking words that benefit, that bless? Am I wasting my words? Am I saying something in an idle or a casual way that is only fit for a more serious conversation? I mean, this morning I was tested. This morning, usually on Sunday morning, will go down, make the coffee, get the coffee, the first cup of coffee in the morning. Usually has cream and sugar in it. I like it black as well, but that first cup, you know, I just like something a little more, you know, sweet and savory. So I've made two big mugs of coffee, and I'm walking up the stairs. I'm still in my house shoes, and I tripped on the stairs, walking upstairs, and I dropped both of those mugs of hot cream and sugar coffee all over our light tan stairs. And I said something I shouldn't have said, okay? This morning, and now on a scale of 1 to 10, if you're judging things like this, it was about a 3, all right? I condemned those coffee mugs, all right? And we laugh, and I'm only sharing this with you not to encourage you to do the same, but just to say, listen, I know where you're coming from if you've had that experience. I mean, I feel like God has helped me to grow in this area, but we are still subject to those temptations all the time. And so not only is it serious business, but Jesus says in the same passage, your words will give you away. By their fruit. You know a tree by its fruit. If it has good fruit, if it says and does things that are good, then it's a good tree. If it produces bad fruit or says bad things, it's a bad fruit. A tree is recognized by its fruit. What are people seeing in you? What are people hearing from you? What are your children seeing? I've told you before about the time when Andrew's about 2 years old. And I'm not an aggressive driver, but I'm an impatient driver. And I'm working on that too. And I'm still working on it. I'm an impatient driver. And so here we are in the car on I-65 going south. And my 2.5-year-old son in his car seat sighs a big sigh and says, "Ugh, the traffic." And I think, where did he get that? He's not even driving. He's stuck in a car seat. He's strapped. He can't move. And yet he's upset. He's seeing that impatience in me. And so you hear your kids say something. You hear your kids say some word or use some expression or have some attitude. We all need to ask ourselves the question, are they hearing it and seeing it from us? Because we are sending signals and our words are giving us away. And last but not least here, the most important factor in your speech is your heart. It's the most important speech organ is your heart. And Jesus says this, "How can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." Another way that's put in another passage, "For out of the abundance of the heart..." Out of the abundance of the heart, what is on the inside, what it is that makes you tick, what it is that motivates you and moves you and fills you, whatever you're filled up with is what comes out in your life. And sometimes there are a pattern of things that come out because our hearts need to be filled with things that are better. Our hearts need to be filled with gratitude versus complaining. I had a sister say to me this week, she said, "You know, I have been doing a gratitude journal ever since you talked about that at Thanksgiving." And she said, "You know, it has totally changed my attitude. It has blessed my life when I make the point to force myself every day to write down some things that God has given me and blessed me with." That's all a part of this whole process of filling our hearts with what we need. So that what comes out of our mouths is what God wants us to say. And so a part of that is asking ourselves the right question. We need to be honest with ourselves. I need to, you know, not make a flippant excuse for saying something that I've said by saying, you know, "That's just the way I am," or "I'm angry," or I have a bad temper, or "I've always been that way," "I've always talked too much." A lot of those are excuses. And so if we're concerned about what we say and the heart that produces those things, we need to ask ourselves questions like this. What do I say? Is it the truth? But that isn't the only question in terms of what's important about what we say. Because we can say something. We can say something that is the truth, but we can be saying it for the wrong reason. Why do I say it? What are my motives? Are they selfish? Am I saying something or sending a message because I'm more concerned about what people think about me than what really needs to be said? I've been in conversations with people before. I will do this at times, and I try to catch myself. I'm having a conversation. They're talking about something. They're on a roll, and I'm really interested, and they'll maybe mention one or two things that I have no idea what they're talking about. But I will sit there and just continue to nod my head and kind of like, oh, yeah, yeah. And then, God forbid, if they say something like, you know so-and-so, right? You ever been in that position? And it's like, I've been nodding, and what do you do? It's little subtle things. It's why we do it, and we're doing that because we don't want anybody to think we don't know about something. How do I say it? I love you. I love you. I love you. I mean, we can say things. Come over here. Come over here. Just how we say things. You can say something, say the identical thing, but say it in a way that hurts or harms. To whom do you say it? To whom do you say it? Is it something that needs to be kept in confidence? Is it something that needs to be said to one or two people? If it's an issue that I have with somebody, am I going to that person? And when do I say it? It's not just how I say it or why I say it, but it's also when I say it, because right now may not be the right time to say it. We need to think about these things, and we need to measure our words, and we need to be focused in how we do it, because words are powerful. Words are powerful. The old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me. That is itself one of the biggest, fattest lies that came out of somebody's big, fat mouth that ever spoke. Because the wise man in Proverbs says that death and life, the ability to uplift and give and serve and encourage or share life or to destroy or kill or criticize or maim or speak with profanity, whatever it is, there is power in the things we say. And because of that, we need to admit that we have unclean lips. Here's the truth. Every single one of us here this morning, and you may be one of these people that you do have a great reign, and God has helped you to have a great reign over your tongue. But there is not a single one of us who wouldn't be in the same situation that Isaiah was in Isaiah chapter 6 at his commission, when he sees this vision of God who is perfect and God who is holy, and he's in his temple, and he stands before that God and he says, woe to me, I am ruined, I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. He is confronted, the prophet is confronted with the holiness of God, the perfection of God, the truth of God. Any of us in that same situation, we're going to be saying the same thing. We have unclean lips. And the only hope we have is the same hope that he had. And that is, number one, we need to be forgiven. We need forgiveness. And when Jesus says every idle word, every careless word you speak, you'll have to give an account for it. In the context, we understand what Jesus is talking about. But we also know that we can have forgiveness. And so when God forgives us of our sins, even the sins of the tongue, God forgives and forgets. But they can still have an impact, and they can still hurt. But it's nice to know that we can be forgiven and our guilt taken away, and that moves us to this point as I close today. Make a commitment. Make a commitment right now. Every one of us. I'm going to use my mouth to encourage, to help, to serve. I'm going to talk more about positive uses of tongue in the future. And I'm going to ask God to guard my lips in terms of what I say. And guard my heart as well. Because this is one of the greatest prayers right here in the Bible. And this is where we're going to close. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock, and my redeemer. Make that your prayer. Make that your commitment. And if that means this week you need to go to somebody because you've said something or been saying something with your tongue that's wrong or inappropriate, or somebody that you know needs encouragement in that area, make a commitment to do something today. Families, I encourage you this week, sit down, dinner table, family devotional, talk about the tongue. Talk about what you say. Talk about the impact that it has and share that within your family and make a commitment as a family that this is our prayer as a family, and we want God to do this in our lives. And we're going to all be a lot better for it. There's so many great things we can do with our mouths. One of the greatest things we can do with our mouth is to confess Jesus and acknowledge Him and our faith in Him. And so you may be present or viewing online, you may be ready to make that kind of commitment in your life. And we want you to know that we're here for you. Let us know if you're ready to confess Jesus and be baptized anytime. Let us know. Call us anytime. And in the meantime, let's make that our prayer. So what I want you to do, I want you to say it with me right now. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my Redeemer. Okay, let's close our eyes and pray. Dear God, in Jesus' name, we ask you to guard our lips, to guard our hearts, and God, help us to speak words of truth and kindness and love that others may be built up. May we commit to that this day. And together, Lord, just now, right this moment, we pray this together. And let's say this together. May the words of my mouth, say this with me, please. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my Redeemer. Amen. In Jesus' name. So go this week and share words of life. Let's sing.